Welcome and thank you all for standing by. At this time, all participant lines are in a listen-only mode. After today's presentations, you may have the opportunity to ask questions, and you may do so by pressing star one at any time. Today's call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect. It is my pleasure to turn the call over to your host for today, Ms. Maggie Mooney-Seuss. Thank you, ma'am. You may begin.
Thank you so much, Holly. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our NOAA Fisheries Telephone Town Hall. Today, we're going to share both an overview of our management and science mission and our plans to develop an Alaska implementation plan for the NOAA Fisheries National Equity and Environmental Justice Strategy. Since that's a mouthful, we're going to refer to that as EEJ strategy going forward. Before I get into the substance of the call today, I want to go over just a few ground rules for the call. The format for today's call includes brief presentations from both the science and the management side of NOAA Fisheries in Alaska. First, John Curlin, he's our Alaska Regional Administrator, is going to present an overview of our resource management responsibilities under various federal laws. And then Bob Foy, our Alaska Fisheries Science Center Director, will provide an overview of the science and research efforts conducted by the Science Center that support federal management actions. Following this, I'll provide some highlights from the national EEJ strategy and the steps that we're taking in the region to develop an implementation plan for that strategy for Alaska. After these remarks, we'll have some time for a few clarifying questions and some feedback. At that time, we'll provide information on how you can get into a queue to ask questions and provide some initial input. And as the operator said, that'll be you'll hit star one when we get to that part of the telephone town hall. We see today really as the start of a conversation to better identify and engage underserved communities in Alaska. There are a lot of people on the call today, each with varying topics of interest and concern, and we know these topics are really important, and they deserve adequate time and having the right NOAA Fisheries staff in the room to answer questions and to engage in full and meaningful discussion, and we want to have those discussions. But today, we want to engage with our stakeholders, tribes, and other members of the public, fishing industry, on matters of science, policy, the state of the environment, the state of fisheries, and other substantive topics. I'm sorry, that's really what we want to do over time. But today, we want to focus on establishing a foundation for successful engagement. So we want to have a productive and meaningful discussion. I'm sorry, somebody. Okay. With you on the topics that matter to you. But to do that, we really need to lay this foundation for improving our communication. So we can focus today on identifying a process for communication with underserved communities. When the public input portion of today's town hall begins, we're hoping to accomplish the following. We'll answer some clarifying questions with you on our approach to developing this EEJ implementation plan and have you ask questions maybe on the best way that we could go about implementing this. We want to hear from you on things that you think we could be doing in terms of reaching out to underserved communities. We'll have presented some information on what we under NOAA Fisheries have defined as underserved communities, and we'll be looking to you tell us if we miss the mark, if we're missing anybody, and helping us find the best ways to engage with you and our underserved communities, given the challenges that we face in this really big, diverse state. And then hoping that some of you that may feel that you're part of an underserved community, that you'll take some time during our open session to share with us the best ways we can get information to you, the topics that you're really interested in hearing from us about related to our science and management mission, and how and when we can get that information to you. Or that you'd also be willing to sit down with us at a later date and talk more. Since time's limited today, it's likely that not everyone's going to have a chance to speak, or maybe not everybody wants to speak, but you would prefer to provide some information in writing to us. So there is information on our website that tells you how to do that. In addition, if you're interested in having a member of our EEJ team, and we'll talk about who's on that team in a minute, speak to your organization in a smaller, more personal setting, we're happy to do that as we are able. And we really want to provide additional opportunities for broader input in the development of this NOAA Fisheries Implementation Plan for Alaska beyond today. Information on how to provide written comments at this initial stage, as well as the PowerPoint for today's presentation, can be found on our NOAA Fisheries website. I'm hoping some of you received that or have had a chance to go to the website. But if you haven't, you want to do that right now. To find that information, if you go into your browser and type Google or Yahoo, into your Google or Yahoo browser and type NOAA Fisheries Alaska EEJ, that's NOAA Fisheries Alaska EEJ, that should take you right to this page, and you'll see a link to provide comments on a form. You'll also see email addresses for people if you'd rather just send us an email with some comments. You'll see the PowerPoint presentation that you can download. You can also find that information if you go into your browser and just type NOAA Fisheries Alaska, and that'll take you to our homepage. If you scroll down to the bottom of that page, you'll see a section called Featured Highlights, and you can find the Alaska Equity and Environmental Justice Implementation Plan page there, where you can find all that information. If anybody is having trouble right now and wants to hit star one, you can open your mic. I can have the operator open your mic, and I can help you navigate how to get that PowerPoint if people feel like they need that right now, if they're having any trouble. So I'll take just a minute to see if anybody wants to is having trouble and needs some assistance. If you are and you want to queue up and hit star one, you can let me know, and then I can give those instructions again on how to open and get that PowerPoint. I know this is an awkward silence. I try to give people a few minutes to think about that. Julie, Mateu, I see Grant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't know there was a PowerPoint associated with the call.
Yeah, so if you go to our website right now, it's a short PowerPoint.
Okay.
But you can also get it. It just helps you follow along. So if you go to, go into your browser, that's
yep.
Google or Yahoo, whatever you're using, type in NOAA Fisheries Alaska EEJ.
NOAA Fisheries Alaska.
Alaska EEJ. And that should bring up the page, I'm praying.
It didn't take me directly. No, I'm just lost in the quagmire of NOAA.
Oh, that's awful. All right, type in NOAA Fisheries Alaska.
Yes.
Okay. Now scroll down to the bottom of that page, and you'll
mm-hmm.
see a box at the very bottom that says Featured Highlights.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Alaska Equity and Environmental Justice Implementation Plan.
Got it.
Perfect. Now you're at the right page. The PowerPoint is
mm-hmm.
there. Please feel free to share this page with other people. There
okay.
is the opportunity. There's a form on there and the PowerPoint. So if you want to provide any comments, written comments after today, you can do
mm-hmm.
that.
Okay.
Thanks, Julie.
Okay, thank you.
And I see Tav has question two. Tav, are you all good?
Yep, I listened to what you told Julie. We're good.
Okay, and I'm saying your name right, right?
Nailed it.
Thank you. Okay. All right. Well, thank you. I'm glad we took the time to do that. So, again, we will record this so you won't miss anything, and you can always go back to that site afterward or email me if you have any questions. So, like I just said, we're recording today's call, and we plan to post the recording on the webpage so you have that for future reference. So I'm going to go ahead now and stop talking, thank God. Our first speaker is John Curlin. And I just want to introduce John a little bit before he speaks. John, I think most of you know, but some of you may not. John is our regional administrator from the Alaska Regional Office. He became our regional administrator in March of 2022. He previously served in three other senior leadership roles in the Alaska region. He was the assistant regional administrator for habitat conservation, who is the acting deputy regional administrator, and the assistant regional administrator for protected resources. But before moving to Alaska, John was at the National Essential Fish Habitat Coordinator based at NOAA Fisheries Headquarters Office. And prior to that, he worked in the habitat program in NOAA Fisheries Northeast Region, now called the Greater Atlantic Region. And that's how long ago I met John, because that's where I used to work. So I'm going to turn the conversation over to John now.
Thanks, Maggie. You're dating yourself, but I guess it's okay. Good morning, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us for this conversation about the NOAA Fisheries Equity and Environmental Justice Strategy, and in particular to help inform us in developing an Alaska implementation plan for that strategy. So I'd just like to give you a sense of our Alaska Regional Office, who we are, and what we do. So in very broad terms, the Alaska Regional Office is responsible for all of the regulatory and management programs that the National Marine Fisheries Service implements under various federal statutes, all aimed at sustaining Alaska's living marine resources. We have three principal natural resource programs, and I'll just describe each of those briefly. First is our Sustainable Fisheries Division, which is responsible for the management of commercial fisheries in the federal waters in the Alaska Exclusive Economic Zone. So typically that's from 3 to 200 miles offshore of Alaska. The Sustainable Fisheries Division works in really close partnership with the North Pacific Fishery Management Council, which is a kind of stakeholder-oriented group to develop policy recommendations to the agency, to NOAA and the Secretary of Commerce, for fishery management plans and amendments to those plans, regulatory programs. And our Sustainable Fisheries Division implements those programs through rulemaking. Sustainable Fisheries is also involved in in-season management of fisheries to monitor catches and make sure that we don't exceed quotas for any of the target species, and monitors incidental catch or prohibited species catch, as it's called. Sustainable Fisheries also deals with working closely with our observer program and a variety of kind of data and catch accounting programs, all aimed at making sure that fisheries are prosecuted in a sustainable manner consistent with federal regulations. Our second major natural resource program is Protected Resources, and our Protected Resources Division in Alaska is focused almost exclusively on marine mammals. So that's everything from whales to fur seals to ice seals, a whole range of marine mammal species. We work to conserve and recover those species under both the Marine Mammal Protection Act and the Endangered Species Act. And the Protected Resources Division has a pretty broad mandate as well. They are involved in things including the listing and recovery of marine mammals that are threatened or endangered under the Endangered Species Act. The program also works in close partnership with Alaska Native organizations to manage the subsistence use of marine mammals by Alaska Natives. So that's a co-management framework, kind of a unique framework to our region. That's something no other region of NOAA Fisheries does. And of course, is very important for our Alaska Native partners for sustaining their culture and for food security. The Protected Resources Division is also the coordinator for the Alaska Marine Mammal Stranding Program, and that deals with marine mammals who are entangled in marine debris, fishing gear, anchor lines, other sorts of things. So coming to the assistance of marine mammals in distress, also responding to dead stranded marine mammals to try to conduct necropsies or other evaluations of those dead animals to help understand human-caused sources of mortality to help inform our management actions to deal with things like ship strikes or marine debris or fishery interactions, those kinds of things. Protected Resources Division also consults with federal action agencies regarding actions that may affect threatened or endangered species under the Endangered Species Act. So a whole range of activities, all with the theme of marine mammal conservation and recovery. And then our third natural resource program is habitat conservation. And the Habitat Conservation Division works also in close partnership with the North Pacific Fishery Management Council, aimed at describing and identifying essential fish habitat for managed species of fish, those species that are managed under the Magnuson-Stevens Act, and then identifying conservation measures to reduce the effects of fishing on essential fish habitat, as well as non-fishing activities like coastal development, construction activities, those kinds of things. And for those activities, the Habitat Conservation Division also works with regulatory and construction agencies, agencies like the Army Corps of Engineers or the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management, Environmental Protection Agency, Department of Transportation, a whole variety of agencies whose actions could affect habitat that is necessary for sustaining those managed species of fish. So those are our three natural resource programs, and then we also have three support divisions. Our Restricted Access Management Division deals with all of the fishery permitting and quota management for our catch share fisheries. So a lot of hands-on work with members of the fishing industry to help them get the right permits and manage their quota as needed. Our Operations and Management Division is responsible for a wide range of fiscal activities, our budget, procurement, grants. They also deal with human resources, building facilities, those kinds of support functions. And then finally, our sixth division is our Information Services Division, which is all about information technology. So IT infrastructure, computer programming for the software programs that support and enable us to track fisheries and manage fisheries sustainably, as well as our server support and help desk and that kind of infrastructure. And then in my immediate office, the Office of the Regional Administrator, we've got a few other support functions. Emily Wilson, who is our tribal liaison, sits in my office, and that's a new addition, a new capacity for us in helping to reach out to our Alaska Native partners and do a better job at tribal engagement and meeting our obligations for government-to-government tribal consultation. We also have Julie Fair, who is our communication expert. She's our public affairs officer, so dealing with the media and a variety of external activities. We have an Arctic policy expert, Kaya Bricks, and also an aquaculture specialist, aquaculture coordinator, who is Alicia Bishop. And she has been working in partnership with the state of Alaska to get off the ground an initiative to identify aquaculture opportunity areas to support expanded mariculture and mariculture for seafood and shellfish in Alaska. So that's an exciting new effort. So in broad terms, that's kind of a quick rundown of who we are at the Alaska Regional Office. And for everything that we do to support Alaska's really important marine resources, we rely on science as well. So you'll hear shortly from Bob Foy, and I think Maggie's going to introduce Bob. So Maggie, I'll turn it back to you.
Thank you, John. So Bob Foy, he is the Science and Research Director of the Alaska Fishery Science Center. Bob joined NOAA Fisheries in 2007 as the director of the center's Kodiak Lab, and many of you know him from that position, and program manager for the Shellfish Assessment Program. He led the program on assessment, biological, and ecological research of commercial crab species in Alaska. Bob earned a Bachelor of Science in Biology from the University of Michigan, a Master in Science in Fisheries, and a PhD in oceanography from the University of Alaska. Take it away, Bob.
Great. Thank you, Maggie. Thanks to everyone for tuning in today. Good morning. Great to see a good turnout here, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk a little bit about the Alaska Fisheries Science Center, NOAA Fisheries in Alaska, but more importantly, to talk about EEJ and equity and environmental justice across the state of Alaska. So the science side, Alaska Fisheries Science Center of NOAA Fisheries, provides the data that support management. We also support directly communities, federal and state agencies. All of this based on the laws that guide our mission, the Magnuson-Stevens Act, the Marine Mammal Protection Act, and a number of others that provide the boundaries for what we focus on. The Science Center studies marine life, Alaska marine resources, our marine ecosystems, with the goal of sustainability of these living marine resources in federal waters. So why are we here today? And it's a simple question from the science side of the house. Are we collecting the data equitably? Are we collecting the information that each of you see yourselves in as that information is being used to manage your resources? And that's our goal, is to make sure that we are equitably identifying the information, conducting the science, so that policymakers, managers, et cetera, have all the information needed to make decisions. So how do we collect those data? We have monitoring fish and marine mammal programs, again, that have supported the importance of identifying food security regionally, nationally, globally, as well as local, regional, and national economics. We have, for decades, studied fish and marine mammals' habitats to better understand how changing environments are impacting these living marine resources. And as each of you know, the changes that we're experiencing right now with climate change mean that it's ever more important that the information we collect is equitable, because the impacts of climate change are not equitable. So that's where this is another very important effort that we're putting together here, to make sure that everybody has an opportunity to let us know the kinds of information that we should be collecting. To collect the best available information, we use ships, we use oceanographic data, we have laboratory studies going on, and collection of biological samples, et cetera. On the marine mammal side of the house, we use airplanes, and uncrewed aerial systems, et cetera, to collect this information. And again, that is a huge and healthy survey field and laboratory portfolio. We work collaboratively with the fishing industry and fishing communities as much as we can. We're collecting information on social science, on economics. We're collecting information specifically about how many fish are caught, the types of fish, the biological information. We have the most robust observer program in the country, working with commercial fisheries to collect information at sea. Can we do more? Absolutely. But it's still an incredibly diverse system that collects more information in collaboration with these fisheries than anywhere. Our marine mammal program, we've got a co-management program with tribal entities in Northwest Alaska and then throughout Alaska, that allows us to work collaboratively with the communities that depend on those living marine resources as well. Of course, then we have the mathematical side, the modeling side, where we take all of that information and we combine it into stock assessment models on the fishery and the marine mammal side, with the goal of better forecasting within the year and in future years how we're sustainable, how we can be more sustainable in our catch limits and in our conservation efforts with marine mammals. We have five different divisions that are focused on, that you can see on the screen here. And there's 5 different divisions, one located in Auk Bay Laboratories. This is in Juneau, and this is a laboratory that has a number of different projects that are focused on research, laboratory work, stock assessment, and surveys. So it's a bit of everything. We have our main salmon program here, our sable fish program, a number of our ecosystem diet studies. Our genetics is main programs are housed here, as well as our mariculture research, which as John said, is a fledgling program within NOAA Fisheries in Alaska, but one that is taking off and going a long way to supporting coastal ecosystems and coastal communities. Our fisheries monitoring and analysis division, that's our observer program. Our marine mammal laboratory, obviously focusing on marine mammals that I mentioned. Our Resource Assessment and Conservation Engineering Division, RACE, we call it. This is our largest survey division where we're focusing on our fish and crab and our ecosystem surveys. This is the division that works more directly with the acoustics for a lot of our pollock surveys, works with the Oscar Dyson that you see plying the Alaska's waters, as well as charters all over the ocean. We are in total responsible for 1.5 million nautical miles of federal waters in the EEZ. Half of that is actively fished right now, and we're responsible for collecting data in that area. And then lastly, I mentioned the analysis division. This is the Research, Ecology, and Fisheries Management Division, REFM. These are the population dynamics modelers, the diet studies, the socioeconomic research that is so important, that is that we take to the council, to the scientific review group on the marine mammal side of the house to bring all of our information together. So I just want to wrap up here with a comment about climate change. And I mentioned it before, but you know, really, your voice has never been more important in making sure that we are being equitable in how we diversify our funding resources. Those funding resources are not unlimited. In fact, they're quite limited. So helping us figure out how to prioritize is important. Acknowledging that we don't have funds to do everything and that we need to focus on our highest priorities is important. But being equitable in that process is critical. We've got some subject matter experts on the phone today. As Maggie mentioned, we've got Mabel Baldwin Schaefer as our tribal research coordinator. We've got Sarah Wise and Marisha Simkowiak, who are focused on communities, focused on better understanding how the impacts of the decisions that we make in fisheries and on the topics that are affecting fisheries in your communities play out in our fisheries management. So we look forward to more engagement. With that, Maggie, I'm going to pass it back to you.
Thank you, Bob. And I apologize. I meant to introduce Mabel and Sarah because they're both on the call. Also today with us are Jamal Moss. He's the deputy director for the deputy regional administrator for the regional office. And Julian Lateague, he's the acting deputy director for the Alaska Fisheries Science Center. So as I mentioned earlier in the introduction, I'm now going to provide some highlights from the National EEJ strategy and the steps we're taking in the region to develop an implementation plan for that strategy for Alaska. For those of you, actually, before we jump into this, I know we had a few new people join. If you want to download the slides, if you don't have them, if you want to go to our website, actually jump into your browser, if you're using Google or Yahoo, and type in NOAA Fisheries Alaska. That's NOAA Fisheries Alaska. Scroll down to the bottom of that Alaska homepage. Under the title featured highlights, which is at the very bottom of the page, you'll see a picture and a link to our Alaska Equity and Environmental Justice Implementation page. And that page has the PowerPoint slides from today. It has recordings from some of our other meetings. It'll have this recording today. It also has a link to provide written comments. If you don't feel like speaking today or you don't get a chance to speak today, It also provides email addresses for people you can reach out to if you have questions or want us to engage with you in a smaller setting, or just send us email with some written comments. That's fine too. So I'm going to begin on slide 5 for those of you that are following along, because you just heard John and Bob's remarks, so I'm picking up on slide 5. We're excited to share the finalized NOAA Fisheries Equity and Environmental Justice National Strategy. It was released this year, and recognizing that not all communities have had equal access to NOAA Fisheries services, we embarked on a multi-year process to develop this strategy. The EEJ strategy guides us to serve all communities more equitably and effectively and reflects input we received as part of an extensive nationwide public outreach and engagement process. We created this strategy using input from NOAA Fisheries staff and from the public, and we will continue to engage with communities to implement this strategy at the regional and programmatic levels. I want to take a moment to thank those of you who did provide input on the development of that national strategy. I may not hit everybody, but I do know these groups provided input: Alaska Fishing Communities Coalition, the Aleut Community of St. Paul Island, the Aleutians East Borough, the Central Bering Sea Fishermen's Association, CONAG, the Association of Village Council Presidents, Poeric Inc., the Kuskokwim and Yukon River Intertribal Fish Commissions, the Tanana Chiefs Conference, as well as members of tribal committees, the North Pacific Fishery Management Council, Ocean Conservancy, Alaska Whitefish Trawler Association, and Fisherman's Finest, Inc. If I missed anybody, please feel free to let me know when we get into the public comment portion of this discussion. The public feedback that we received informed the development of that national EEJ strategy, and it has relevance in our efforts to develop an implementation plan for Alaska. Specifically, NOAA recognizes that formal engagement process, particularly around new regulations, makes it hard for underserved communities to respond. The short timelines, lack of transparency in management processes also makes people feel that the regulations are already written and their feedback has no impact. Thus, there was an agency recommendation to communicate early and often with tribes and stakeholders. Also, we must coordinate better amongst ourselves, such as within the Fishery Management Councils, NOAA line offices, and other federal agencies, so that our work is aligned, but also that communities are not overburdened with requests to engage with us. And finally, we know that we need to support capacity for NOAA EEJ work by hiring local place-based staff with cultural and language expertise and research the social impacts of management decisions on people and communities. We want you to know that we are already taking steps on all of these fronts, but we know there is more work to be done, and that's why we're here today. So I'm going to move on to slide 6. We identified 3 overarching goals to move us closer to EEJ for all underserved communities. The first one is prioritize identification, equitable treatment, and meaningful involvement of underserved communities. The second goal is to provide equitable delivery of services. And the third goal is to prioritize EEJ in our mission to show some progress. We've identified 6 core and interrelated areas that we know we can improve upon. We begin in the center, so if you're looking at the graph on slide 6, in the center is empowering environment. By this, we mean institutionalizing EEJ with leadership support and a trained and diverse workforce. Moving on to policy and plans, that's directly above empowering environment. Here, we want to ensure that our policies promote equal opportunities for all, and we do not create unintended inequalities or unequal burdens for underserved communities. And, you know, we could give some examples of barriers that communities might encounter, challenges with language and cultural barriers, our complexity of our systems for things like grants, the application process might be cumbersome or complex. Gaps in staff with cultural and language literacy. We have geographic isolation in Alaska because we have such a diverse state. NOAA's ability to effectively identify underserved communities, and we even have a lack of diversity in our own workforce. Research and monitoring, which is to the right of that, in this area, we want to identify underserved communities and their needs, and we want to conduct collaborative research and assess impacts of management decisions. In outreach and engagement, which is at the bottom, and what we're doing hopefully today, it's at least a start, is to build relationships with underserved communities, better understand their engagement preferences, and improve information sharing with all communities. Benefits, which is at the bottom of this graph, we want to distribute benefits equitably among communities by increasing the access to opportunities for underserved communities. And then the last part on the left, inclusive governance. We want to support meaningful involvement of underserved communities in the decision-making process. So to operationalize this national EEG effort, at the regional level, science centers and regional offices across the country have established internal working groups that include a diverse set of individuals. For NOAA Fisheries Alaska, our EEG working group includes leadership, program managers in science and fisheries management, social scientists, at least one is on the call today, outreach and communications experts, tribal and community liaisons, and a tribal research coordinator. However, implementing this EEJ strategy requires the participation of all NOAA Fisheries' entire workforce and all offices and programs. The NOAA Fisheries Alaska EEJ work group will also be engaging with our internal workforce in this effort. Externally, we're working to identify and engage underserved communities, and that's why we're having this call today. NOAA Fisheries defines underserved communities as communities that may not have had equal access to NOAA Fisheries services. So our goal is to get community input and feedback from underserved communities to help guide development of our regional EEJ implementation plan for Alaska. The effort definitely poses some challenges for us in Alaska. The first challenge is that Alaska, it's the largest land base in the U.S. It's a vast geographic area that has a lack of sufficient infrastructure, which significantly influences access, community conditions, and resources for underserved populations. Another challenge is that we have a little time and funding that's been provided to develop an engagement plan. To speak with the vast majority of underserved communities in order to build an implementation plan that provides vital services equitably across Alaska. Despite this, we are moving full steam ahead to try and do a better job, and this includes engaging with as many rural fishing and indigenous communities, areas of the seafood sector that don't have access or opportunities to engage. That could be fishing vessel crews, seafood processors, charter boat fishermen, others. And I'm really thankful today that you have all joined us for this call. So given these challenges, NOAA Fisheries EEJ work group is going to complete our EEJ implementation plan in two phases. So I'm going to go to slide 7. To accomplish it, as I said, two phases. Phase 1, we're in right now. And that began May of this year, and it's going to run till the end of December. And this is where we've been hosting conversations among tribal forums, with fishing groups. We're now hosting town hall teleconferences with tribes and Alaska constituents. We're also soliciting written input. We're gleaning information on important things in this first stage of preferred methods for us for communicating with our underserved communities, the best season or timing for doing that, the locations for us to engage, as well as the best ways to solicit feedback from you. And this initial information that we're seeking from all of you now, we're going to compile that by the end of December. And we actually have December 1st as the cutoff date for providing input. But I will, if people feel, I know some of you, this may be a new discussion to you and you may be just learning about it. So if we need to extend that deadline, I think we can explore that internally. And then phase 2 of this EEJ implementation plan is or the development of it, is we've submitted a proposal for FY24-25 to our national offices, and provided we get support, we are hoping to conduct phase two from January to September of next year, where we hope to expand conversations with underserved fishing communities. If we do receive that support for effort, we'd like maybe to hold hub meetings. So I'll be very curious when you do open your mics later to see if you think hub meetings would be a good idea. Another option, too, is smaller scale forums and discussions. We're happy to participate in those as we are able. And then all of this information is going to be compiled into that fisheries EEJ implementation plan by the end of 2024. But I want to add that we see this document as something that is a living document. It's dynamic. We're going to continue to refine it and improve upon it as we need to. So it's not a done deal. So quick next steps. We're hoping to solicit some initial feedback in writing by December 1st. So as I said, there's a link online on that on our webpage that you can go. It's some quick questions that basically gets at those questions. I'll hit on them in a minute, of what we're looking for initially. Then we're going to compile that feedback, and we're going to share that with headquarters, our national office, by the end of the year. And again, I want to emphasize, this is just the start of a conversation with you. We are interested in future follow-up engagements where we can have more in-depth conversations, whether it's through future teleconferences, if you like this format, virtual meetings, or in-person engagements as we can. I'm going to move on to slide 8. So this is where I was talking about our initial questions that we are hoping to get some feedback on, maybe some today, and definitely from you if you decide to submit something in writing. So what information are you interested in receiving from us about our regulatory actions and our scientific research? What are the best ways for us to engage further with you? When's the best time for us to reach you? Fall, winter? We mentioned the idea of potential hub meetings. Is that something you would be interested in participating in? I'm going to move on to slide 9. NOAA Fishery staff are available for you to continue to have conversations. This includes Amalie Wilson, our Tribal Relations Coordinator, myself, I'm the Communications Program Manager, Maggie Mooney-Seuss, Mabel Baldwin-Schaefer, she's our Tribal Research Coordinator, Sarah Wise, and Marisha Simkoviak, they're social scientists, Jamal Moss, he's our Deputy Director for the Regional Office. Any of us, all of us, are open to having further conversations. For those of you that may need some time to consider these questions, as I said, if you want to provide writing comments and feedback in writing, we welcome that. And slide 9 on the deck that you have in front of you should provide information, but you also, I walked you through where you could go to our website to get that too. So please feel free to share this information, the feedback form link, with tribal organizations, fishing networks, anyone else that isn't able to join us today. Okay, I've talked a lot. So this is your chance to ask some clarifying questions about things that we just presented, whether that's the EJ implementation strategy, the national plan, or any quick clarifying questions for John or Bob. We're happy to take those now. And then we'll spend about 20 minutes or so doing that. And then I would love it if we could jump into some of those questions that I just touched on for underserved communities to see if I can get some feedback from all of you. So why don't we go ahead, and if you want to queue up to ask a question, a clarifying question for us on anything that we presented, just hit *1 and the operator can put you into a queue, and then we can open your mics. And while you guys are thinking about whether you have a clarifying question about any of this, but it's probably tough to follow, I'll remind you that to find that web page again, you just need to go to your browser and type in Alaska Fisheries, NOAA Fisheries Alaska, scroll to the bottom of the page, and at the bottom of the page, you will find featured highlights And under featured highlights, you can click on the Alaska Equity and Environmental Justice Implementation Plan page. And that will take you to a page with lots of information, hopefully the National Equity and Environmental Justice Plan. The link to it is there, information on how to provide comments, as well as today's PowerPoint. And this recording will be put up there. So again, if you have any questions, either clarifying questions, please hit star one. Okay, operator, can you open Joe's line?
Hello?
Yep, go ahead, Joe.
Okay, just wondered if any of the products of this will have any teeth, or is it just, more that the North Pacific Council, the actual regulatory body, can just say they consider this input and then go about business as usual? Thanks.
Well, thank you for that question. I don't know. I'm happy to answer that, and maybe John and Bob can add to it. I think what we're hoping is that this really represents a cultural shift for our agency. We are committed to this effort. That's why we're taking the time to have these conference calls with people, provide opportunities for people to provide input to us so that we do our best to get it right. We really want to hear from you on ways that we can improve our communications with communities. And so, I think we're committed to this. John or John, if you have anything, and then maybe Bob after him.
Sure. Thanks, Maggie. Yeah, I think that's accurate. We're really trying to do a better job of hearing from stakeholders who maybe we haven't heard from so much in the past. There are some parties who are really well represented in the North Pacific Fishery Management Council process and actively attend public meetings, provide testimony, provide written comments, and then there are other groups who maybe we don't hear from very much. And so we're really trying to provide clearer avenues for input from those groups and just make sure that we're hearing from a really broad cross-section of stakeholders who are affected by what we do and help provide information, input to help us make smarter, more informed decisions. So from my perspective, that's what this is all about. And as Maggie said, we really are committed to that.
Bob, can
I? And I'll just add, yeah, absolutely. I'll just add that, thanks for the comment, Joe, that our success is only as good as the input that we get. So, I think this is an excellent opportunity to highlight, again, as I mentioned, the changes that are occurring around us. And it's an opportunity to, again, reset and make sure all voices are heard. So, I would encourage anyone that that has thoughts on how or what we could be doing different to provide that information moving forward. And remember that there are a lot of stakeholders out there. There are a lot of people dependent on the living marine resources in Alaskan waters. And at the end of the day, it's a balance that we need to achieve. But appreciate the comment.
Thanks, Joe. Did we get your question? You good?
Yep. Thanks.
Okay, operator, I think we have someone else queued up. Brooke, could you open Brooke's line?
Brooke, you may go ahead.
Hi. Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Perfectly.
Okay. First off, I just don't feel like this information is widely shared enough for people to hop on to this call. I just found out by happen chance, and this is very important work. And then I just want a clear example of where this work is being done in Alaska Native communities. and how you're addressing the concerns and where are tribal requests being implemented, because I've been a part of Alaska Fisheries work for the last 7 years and have very specific requests to NOAA, NIMS, North Pacific Fisheries Management Council, Board of Fish, to the governor, and none of those cries, requests, emotional testimonies have been supported in any way. And is the health and well-being impacts of pollock bycatch being implemented into the community surveys that the Alaska Fisheries Science Center is responsible for? You mentioned the vastness and remoteness of Alaska. Alaska has the most tribes in our nation. And are you fully staffed and committed to really implementing this very important effort? Lots of questions. And when you look at the Alaska Salmon Fisheries website, it's just kind of disheartening. It says, monitoring the health and sustainability of fish, marine mammals, and their habitats. And just kind of disheartening because it says Alaska's resource rich and supports the largest and most valuable commercial fisheries in the world. And there's no acknowledgement of the 10,000 years of Alaska Native stewardship, responsibility, and cultural importance of these fisheries. And when you look at the website, you know, it's very specific to, like, the pollock industry and not the importance of the salmon species to Alaska Native people and the multi-year salmon crashes of many salmon species in the Yukon River. And where in Alaska is the Alaska Fisheries Salmon Center located? Who is assigned to the crashes of the multi-species of salmon? I just have a lot of questions. And where are we focusing? Where is NOAA focusing when you're looking at the strategy for this? I'm looking at the infographic empowering environment. You have inclusive governance, policy and plans, research and monitoring, outreach and engagement and benefits. Who is this benefiting? What government are you working with? What policy and plans have you implemented for the tribal requests? I know there's very specific tribal requests around salmon bycatch, both of chum and king in the pollock industry. And, you know, large AYK consortium has submitted requests on behalf of 118 tribes on that bycatch. So I'm just wondering, where in this strategy are you implementing those requests? A lot of information, just kind of disheartened with many years of these requests being submitted, and, you know, this is being developed broadly, but there's very specific needs, and we are in a salmon crisis. You know, NOAA is responsible to Alaska Native tribes to be a part of the conservation, restoration, and subsistence opportunity for our Alaska Native tribes. And we have not been able to fish for 4 years. That is a cultural crisis. That is a health and well-being crisis. I have young children, and are they going to be able to have the health benefits, the cultural benefits of salmon today and into the future? And does NOAA, NIMS, North Pacific Fisheries Management Council understand that responsibility to my children? This fight that I'm in today is for my children, and we're not eating salmon. And that just like breaks my heart. Like, I can't share salmon with my kids, the elders. A lot of our family are passing away without salmon. And there's nothing to supplement that. My family didn't get a moose this year. We don't have dry meat, and that sounds silly, like, oh, this woman doesn't have dry meat, but it's such a delicacy and so needed when we don't have our salmon. So what is NOAA doing for our tribes? Thank you.
Brooke, thank you very much for your comments. We appreciate them very much. I think you have raised a lot of points, and I think a lot beyond the scope of what we can address in a call like this. And, you know, I think there's an opportunity to please provide some of this in writing. We welcome you to do that, because and we will capture what you just said. So again, I thank you for your comments here. But in the fact that we just have a very limited time and we have a number of people that want to speak, we really need to keep the focus on what we're trying to achieve today, which is to start the conversation of how we can improve our communications and our engagements with tribes, with the fishing industry. And I think that we'd be happy to get back to you and provide some information in response to a lot of the points you just raised, but we can't do it today. So I thank you again for your comments. And I'm going to ask everybody, when you do speak, since we do have a lot of people on this call today and we want to give as many people a chance to speak as possible, if you could limit your comments to, you know, Brooke was right on the money, about the length of time that Brooke spoke would be terrific. So I think we could go, operator, and take our next caller. And Brooke, feel free to reach out to me afterward and we can connect. The next person, I think, is Joel.
Joel, you may go ahead.
Okay. My name is Joel Jackson. I'm calling in from Southeast Alaska. I'm the president of the Organized Village of Cake. And, you know, I've made a few comments over the years on this issue. And, you know, it's a shame that we have to fight for a seat on these boards. You know, where's the equality in putting at least two or three of our native people on the board? I mean, you got representation from all different areas, but, you know, being one of the First Nations people, we're not represented. And also we have to go jump through the hoops. You want our comments written a certain way, and you know, we're given a specific time we can call or talk. And yeah, it's sad that we even have to have this conversation with you. We're not represented at all. So I'm very disappointed. And hopefully we can make a change in that. And although I do appreciate you letting us call in and talk, I just want to express my disappointment and that we even have to have this conversation. All right. Thank you for your time.
Joel, thank you for your comment. We do hear you. In fact, that is a point that was raised in our national EEJ strategy. And I think John may want to say something on this. John Curlin?
Yeah, thanks, Maggie. So, Joel, I imagine you're referring to representation specifically on the Fishery Management Council, and that's a concern for our agency as well, and something that we have spoken to the council about and communicated directly with the Commissioner of the Department of Fish and Game, and in fact, the Secretary of Commerce, who oversees NOAA, recently wrote to the governor, specifically asking the governor to consider nominating qualified Alaska Natives for the vacancies on the Pacific Fishery Management Council in 2024, specifically because of this issue. So it's a very valid concern about trying to provide more equitable representation and something our agency cares about. Ultimately, seats on the council are chosen based on nominations from the governor. So it's really incumbent on the governor, I think, to consider that. And as I said, the secretary reached out to him. The head of our agency and I have both been in touch with the commissioner of the Department of Fish and Game and spoken to him about this. And they're hoping that there will be qualified Alaska Native nominees in this next round of the nomination cycle in the coming year.
Don, your phone line was a little garbled there. I think you were clear, but Joel, I hope we answered your question on that, and we really appreciate your reaching out today. Operator, if you could take the next person. I think that's Gay.
Gay, you may go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Hello, everyone. This is Gay Sheffield. I'm with UAF Alaska Sea Grant, and I'm calling from the Bering Strait region in Nome. And it's been very good hearing everyone, all the call-ins. My question or thoughts, when the woman who spoke about the food security issues and that more people could be on this call, I understand that communications at a statewide level is very difficult for an organization. Is it possible to look at the regional hubs for communities, like for us, Nome is the hub, continuing communicating with the tribes, absolutely, but look at how regional hubs communicate. I think it would have been great. We did not see anything in our newspaper, our locally produced newspaper, about this meeting, nor did we hear anything about it on our local regional radio stations. And I think that is, you know, the communications is the giant elephant, and it really needs to be looked at, hopefully, you know, how do you do that? How do you eat that elephant? You do it and dice it up. And if we had communications that went straight to, I'm not taking away from anyone other ideas on community communications, but utilize what the regional hubs, how they communicate, radio, newspaper, you know, I don't know if Tundra Drums is still around, but Arctic Sounder, Nome Nugget, use KNOM, use K-Bear, use KYUK. I think that people, at least for speaking for this region, people are listening to the radio and looking at our regional newspapers and things like that. And maybe, I guess my question would be, is there a way that NOAA can take topics and have regional specialists for fisheries, for marine mammals, for whatever, so that you are starting to, with whomever you hire, hopefully it's integrated, but the point would be to have regional specialists for North Slope, for Northwest Arctic, for Bristol Bay, so that the information, the regional uniqueness, regional issues, regional logistics would really be understood better, and that information might be helpful going back and forth and not having someone trying to do everything all at once by themselves. I hope that helps. Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you very much, Gay. It's good you gave us some good food for thought. I definitely think we could probably do more in getting the word out when we do these things via local radio and newspaper. So really good recommendation. Thank you. And I don't want to speak with John or Bob. You know, I know we're all challenged with hiring. I think we'd love to have regional specialists, but I don't know what the feasibility of hiring staff in every region, but certainly working with regional people. And that's one of the things we suggested in here. Our work group identified the idea of having, at least next year, but potentially something in the future, a regional meeting, a hub meeting to share information. One of the things we're hoping we'll get feedback from is how best do we reach people? Do people, want us to send stuff individually via email and fax? Do we send through organizations? Do we have an annual webinar? Do we go into communities if we have the resources and have a once-a-year meeting? Do we do quarterly webinars? So I'd love to hear thoughts from all of you on those kind of things, but totally hear you on the need for providing information at the regional level that's relevant to communities. I think at the community level gets difficult for us because we have such a diverse, big state. But we're open to feedback, and that's what we want to hear. So thank you so much for the suggestions, Gay. Please, if you have the bandwidth to write any more, love to hear it and input more. But this was great. Thank you for that feedback. Can we take the next person that's queued up? I think Jake is up next.
Jake Everett, you may go ahead.
Yes, hello. My name is Jake Everett. I own a trawl vessel out of Kodiak and feel like I represent a relatively underserved population. I'm a new entrant. Actually came here from the East Coast after NOAA instituted the catch share program, which quite frankly destroyed that fishery and left me with no other option than to come to Alaska. So there were community outreach programs that were held and discussion panels, and I feel like fishermen were largely ignored in that process. I'd like to quote a mentor of mine who I believe Dr. Foy is familiar with, Mr. Jay Stinson from Kodiak, and oftentimes he'd tell me through his engagement with fisheries management that politics often trumps science. Feel that absolutely communities should be heard for and stakeholders as well, in the development of any new fishery management policy. But I feel that it's a extremely dangerous road that we're going down when we're balancing emotions with science. Science should not be emotionally driven. Science should be free of any bias. As a commercial fisherman, a stakeholder who's several million dollars in debt, if the science dictates that I should not fish a certain species for 2 or 3 years to let it recover, then I'm all for that. Emotionally driven policy would be the equivalent of me going up to Portlock and having a 50-ton codfish tow for 10 minutes and then demanding that all cod limits be abolished because there's lots of cod. I mean, that's completely disregarding the science behind fisheries management. Again, don't take this comment as me saying that communities shouldn't be listened to. But I just really am reluctant to introduce emotionally driven policy. Thanks.
Well, Jake, before you jump, I just want to ask you, so you said you're a new intern. Do you feel like you're getting the information about the things that we're doing, the policies, the science? Are there things you think we could do better?
I feel that, again, I am reluctant to introduce emotion into fisheries management. I feel that we could definitely be spending a heck of a lot more money on research, better understanding of our fisheries resources. Case in point is the Chinook salmon bycatch issue in the Gulf. Wholeheartedly agree that we should look at the issue with pretty fine lens, understand the genetics behind those salmon stocks, understand the reasoning why we're encountering more Chinook. And I think the reality is that the environment is changing. Anyone that says that climate change isn't real that participates in our fisheries obviously has their head in the sand. But I just feel that by and large, our fisheries regulatory process is very slow to respond to changing environment. You know, as a stakeholder, I see change in the environment every season. I've seen changes in ambient ocean temperature on a trip-by-trip basis, so it's very hard to have a management program that's that adaptable, but I certainly feel we could introduce a lot more flexibility into the way things are done. And also, I do feel, as I mentioned before, I did come to Alaska from New England. I saw no future for myself after things were rationalized there. I feel that with the creation of various rationalization programs around the country, oftentimes younger new entrants are not listened to. A new entrant should be someone like myself, or it could be someone in a village in rural Alaska. Again, I feel, you know, our fisheries should be managed for the nation, not just me as somebody that owns a fishing boat. So, yeah, I would like to see more collaborative research. I feel in my position as a stakeholder, oftentimes, because I didn't go to college, because I don't have a degree, my voice is not listened to, whereas I truly feel that fishermen are among the best stewards of the resource, and they're on the front lines. They see that environmental change. So I'd like to see a lot more collaborative industry-based research with the survey days from the Dyson being stripped. Almost every year we see the Dyson in the Shelikof during the pollock spawning season, and they're 30 to 40 miles away from where that biomass is focused. Whereas if there was some industry-based research that could possibly help to get better survey data, and, you know, just as I mentioned before, as someone that's invested in the fishery, if the science dictates that we should reduce attack or, you know, not fish on a certain species for 3 or 4 years to let it recover, then that's fine. But it should not be emotionally based. I just do not agree with that at all.
Okay. Well, Jake, thank you. I appreciate the input. I'm going to go on. If you feel like you said what you need to say, I'm going to go on to our next caller. Okay. Duncan?
Thank you. Are you hearing me okay?
Hear you perfectly.
Oh, thanks. I'm going to try to be brief. I appreciate you having this meeting. I want to recognize the progress the agency has made over a number of years. The fact that we have an environmental justice equity policy is amazing, given where we were only a few years ago. And now we're talking about an implementation strategy for that policy. I want to applaud the agency for that. I want to applaud your outreach. Yes, certainly we can do more, but we need to recognize how far the agency has come, and I wanted to acknowledge that. And I think that the outreach that you have done has been positive. Emily came to Kodiak for our rural forum, and a great response there. The rural groups that I represent, Old Harbor and Yuzinki, small communities on Kodiak Island, we have other issues of equity. We're not focused exclusively on salmon, although we understand that those communities that are have great concern and great loss that they're experiencing. But our issues are equity issues relative to exclusion from the fisheries that are available, particularly through LLPs and limited entry, and of course the IFQ program. And so those are the issues that our communities are focused on with regard to need for greater equity. I'm just going to jump down to the slides here at the end of your program, some of your questions. I think the regional hub idea is a good idea, but I think we need to recognize that there's a host of issues across Alaska, not a single issue in the Bering Sea. And, you know, hubs need to be northern southeast, southern southeast, Prince William Sound, Kodiak, maybe the Chignik area, Area M, Bristol Bay, and so on. I don't know all of the various methods you can do to outreach. Certainly, I heard about this meeting. I think people that are, you know, looking at the council or paying attention to NOAA communications follow-up, but suggestions about notice in various other publications are helpful. Some people follow Facebook more than I do, and I know locally a lot of messaging is done through that medium. We all know that many people in Alaska are engaged in fishing and other things during the summertime. I think outreach September 1 to May 15th or something is optimum. I think we all know that here in Alaska. And again, I just think availability and continuing what you're doing will provide information needed for decision making. I think you have to recognize that there's differences of opinion within the Alaska community, within the rural Alaska community, and within the Alaska Native community about what exactly needs to be done or can be done to change fisheries management in a more equitable way. But in summary, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you to the agency and those in the leadership for developing an equity and environmental justice format. And thank you for now talking about the implementation of that and having it actually have an impact in decision making.
Thank you, Duncan. Good food for thought. Again, if there's other people that want to queue up and ask questions, please hit star one and we can put you in the queue if you want to ask questions. If you want to mill this over and get back to us, you can definitely email us if you have follow-up questions. If you decide you want further conversation, more in-depth conversation, we are happy to do that, and we would be, as we're able, if we need to do it virtually, or we can come in person if we have the ability to do that. So we have some people queuing up. I think Milan is up next.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can hear you perfectly.
I think this that the title of this broadcast about justice is pretty funny, man. I mean, sugarcoating genocide and calling it justice. When you have justice, you're implying that you're having reparations after the judgment. And I feel about the trawlers and the people living in the communities out there. There's less than 1 million people in this whole state, okay? You got more people in Seattle than you do in this whole state. It's pretty ignorant to separate by region with only 1 million people in the whole state, not even a million. And I feel for those fishermen, and I feel for all this, but talk is cheap. You want to get something done. You want to deal with people that did something that actually helped the YK region. Go to Naknek and Ikat, those two communities that actually sent fish to someone in Seattle that uses salmon to feed lesser prosperous communities. It's ignorant, it's stupid. I mean, how do you have more people in Seattle than this state, and you're not able to feed them, and you're not able to coordinate with another region to send fish? How do you let fishermen in Naknek and Ikat be responsible for the YK region, and the state of Alaska only sends one fish on one plane load and calls that reparation? The people you never hear from in these discussions over the past 3 years are the canneries like Trident and Peter Pan, and Peter Pan's ownership. They got out of this state because of this crap, because they understand that when you have a CEO that doesn't perform, your shareholders fire that CEO because they're not making any money anymore. Those guys booked because they understand that if you're not performing and if you do something wrong, you have to have reparations. And there's no talk of reparations for losing all this fish. There's no talk of how mismanaging a resource, no one has gotten fired. There's no talk of the senators that are supposed to represent this state have talked to anyone to correct the situation, to fire anybody. And you have nonprofits in Seattle that do more work for YK than the state of Alaska. You want something to be done right. You want to know how to talk to people that actually do something besides talk about justice. Go to Naknek and Ekok and talk to the fishermen there who actually sent fish to the YK area. This talk, these discussions that don't get published, that's just sugarcoating genocide. You send food over to Hawaii for one community that burned down, and there's a loss of life there. That's, I feel bad for that. But, you know, those guys run around in grass skirts year-round, you know. This, we're dealing with winter, northern climate, seasonal changes, not to mention the ocean temperatures changing, which brings in more invasive fish. You never hear from the canneries because they catch salmon year-round, pollock year-round. The hustle can't get no better than that. Why complain and try to lessen something when you reap all the benefits and everyone is fighting for the scraps, and you have former executive directors of your industry sit on those committees that are supposed to help? It's BS. It's baloney. You need to talk to people that actually do something, like from Naknek and Ekok. NOAA, I don't know what the hell NOAA has done in this state. I know they sent one ship up here a summer and a half ago that was supposed to research this issue, and I never heard none of the data from that boat. And they supposedly skirted Gulf of Alaska, passed the chain. I never heard no data from that boat.
Milan, I don't want to cut you off, but I have a couple other people, and we're almost out of time. Thank you for your feedback. I appreciate it. If you want to follow up with me, you have my email. If there's anything I can provide to you, we can have a conversation after this, but I need to take another caller. So, again, thank you so much for your comment. I don't mean to cut you off, but I know I just want to give a couple more people a chance to say something before before we're wrapping up, and we only have a couple of minutes. So I'm going to ask the operator if we could open Valerie's line.
Valerie, you may go ahead.
Hello?
Hi, Valerie. Go ahead. Valerie, your line's open if you want to say something.
Can you hear me?
Can hear you perfectly. Yep, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I've been writing and questioning NOAA for quite a while. And I have to agree with the gentleman that was just on. He hit the nail on the head. There is no one there that is working for anyone here. Right now in Sitka, Alaska, all our fish plants are shut.
Three of them. And the fishery's still open.
And the fishery's still open, but the people got to go to Juneau to unload. NOAA needs to either fire some people that are there because they have no interest in the commercial fishermen. I don't care what kind of fish you do, but you guys aren't looking in your own backyard. You allow trawlers out west to drag the ocean bottom and to kill everything on the bottom. We have friends that going on the third, fourth year, no crab season for them. And then now we have the great state taking 75% of the salmon trawlers, king salmon, and giving them to the tourists. Yeah. So, yeah, you guys, they're not for we, the people that's made our fishery what it is. You know, like I say, when you have the canneries in Southeast Alaska closed,
before the season's
closed,
yeah,
there's something wrong. And I tell you what, and they should allow these people to continue to fish, because you are only inflicting a lot of hardships, not only on the people that work in the cannery, their families, the stores, the money that they would bring in. And these people are from where? I mean, they support the draggers out there. You guys keep on talking about climate change. The way the climate changes is the bottom of the ocean being dragged up and everything killed and crushed or whatever, then you guys aren't keeping an eye on this. This is absolutely appalling. And we have had years and years and years when Bill Sheffield was governor, when we were fishing off the Fairweather grounds, we found net marks on fish up there. So it took us 5 years. You guys have this information. We have the log books. I get tired of people saying we don't have the information.
We need to study it.
And you guys just need to study it. All you guys did was put it into a computer. And excuse my expression, ma'am. You can put a turd into a computer, it still comes out to be a turd. And any of these people that come from Seattle, that come up here to take advantage, they've been ran off the East Coast. They've been ran off the West Coast. They've been ran off Washington State, the Gulf of Mexico, and other countries. And where are they at? They're here in Alaska for one reason, to take advantage of our fishery and to take advantage of our resources. And no, those people should not be allowed to be here, especially for all the money that we pay for licensing for our boats.
Sorry, sorry to cut you off. I'm really sorry. We are at the end of this time.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you, but I do agree with the man that was on before me. He was spot on. And
if we get shut down, they continue to make livings and clean off the ocean.
Yes. It's
disgusting what's going on out there.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for calling in. Appreciate it. I know there are other people queuing up. I'm afraid, though, that we're right at the end of this time. I don't want you to feel like you cannot give us feedback. We really do want to hear from you. You know, we thought we had a good amount of time for this, but obviously, you know, there's a lot of people interested, and we have a lot of concerns. We really are hoping that we can get some feedback from people on how we can improve our communications, how we can do a better job of engaging with communities. We know we have a lot of diversity of opinions and perspectives in Alaska, and we do want to hear from you, and that's why we're here today, and this is not the end of a conversation. This is the start of a conversation. Bob, John, is there anything you guys want to say in closing? And I really want to thank all of you for the passion and the information you shared with us today. It is very much appreciated.
Yeah, Maggie, this is Bob. I'll just add thanks as well. I know these conversations are uncomfortable, and I know that sometimes it feels like they're repetitive. But I really do encourage people to take that step back, take this opportunity to think critically about what information we can provide that would, you know, make our decision making more equitable. But thank you again.
Yeah, and likewise for me, I just want to thank everybody and reiterate that what we're trying to do here is find ways to make sure that we are connecting with stakeholders who maybe haven't had much of a voice, or we're not communicating well to convey what we do and how your input can help us manage marine resources sustainably. So really appreciate your participation today. And as Maggie said at the beginning, and I guess a few times throughout the presentation, this is just the first step. So feel free to submit comments in writing or give us ideas of how else we can communicate with you as we develop this implementation strategy for Alaska. Thanks.
So as we sign off again, for anybody that jumped on late, just so you know where to get more information, provide written comments, and we'll keep you updated on things that we're going to do going forward. Definitely taken in a lot of information on how we can reach out better to some of the local radio stations, newspapers, work with our hubs to communicate better. Hearing a lot of good suggestions here, really appreciate it. So if you want to provide further information or you want to know who to reach out to, you want to have somebody from the EJ Working Group come speak to your organization, that may have to be virtually depending on where you are, but we will definitely be open to doing that. And if you go down and go into your browser on your website on the internet and type in Alaska, NOAA Fisheries Alaska, scroll down to the bottom of that homepage for us, at the very bottom is a link to our Equity and Environmental Justice Implementation Plan page. And if you just click on that page, you'll find lots of information about the things we talked about today. Again, the PowerPoint, a link to provide some comments via a form so that we can collect some initial information, email addresses for those contacts for people in the EEJ working group that you can reach out to provide other information to. We'll put a recording of today's call up there as soon as we have a chance to get it up. And I thank you all for participating, and I'm so sorry we couldn't get more of you, give you more a chance to speak, but please, please do reach out to us. Thank you.
And this concludes today's conference. Thank you for participating. You may disconnect at this time, and speakers, please stand by.